So Marvin Menzies in studio with Cofield and Company. 24 days away? I think that's it from the exhibition game. So right around the corner.
Well, yeah, we're close. We're excited. We're really, really looking forward to it. I love this group of kids. You know, Steve, we've been trying to put this thing together for a minute now, and it's a good feeling. Practice, the energy, the synergy amongst the kids. Now, of course, playing time hasn't been established yet, so we're going to have to cross that bridge when we get to it. But we've talked about that a lot, too, as a team.
So you got Montana State Billings in an exhibition game, Thomas and Mack. That's Friday, November 2nd, and then Loyola Marymount on Saturday, November 10th. That's the official opening. But we get to see the guys on a court. Now, I got to hear about the setup. Do you know all the particulars yet of you're going to be at Sam Boyd on Friday? That's next Friday, before the Air Force game. I think this is a brilliant idea, you know, with the football fans there. Get a bunch of the basketball fans out as well. Where are you guys set up? Outside?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of cool. You know, we've never done this before. I don't think I've ever been involved with one of these that's kind of cross-marketed, you know, at a football game. So that's kind of exciting, and I thought it was a great idea. You've got a built-in fan base of real Rebels that are Rebels, whether they're basketball fans or football fans. You know, there are a lot of alumni that attend games and so forth. So I think it's a great opportunity to make it easy for them as well to get an intro to all of our guys. And we're going to have the women's team out as well. And KO does a fantastic job with her ladies. Great core group of returning players there too. So I think it'll be fun. You know, a lot of autographs and it's just a fun time. You know, we'll have posters, and I think we're giving out a bunch of T-shirts to students as well. So we'll have a little competition. We'll bring the actual floor that we played on. I think it was just a couple years ago before we got this one. So it'll be nice.
Adam, you have any demands? You're a guy who, believe it or not, Adam's a big fella, but he's actually very nimble, and he's a shooter. He's very particular about outside basketball. He does not like to play outside. So no shooting drills.
Oh, if there was a three-point shootout, I'd tap out.
I can't do it. Yeah. Too far out?
No, the wind. Outside. I need a sterile shooting environment.
Adam would be terrible at the beach. Like, I grew up near beach towns in New Jersey, but in California, if he was on the beach, he would tap out instantly. Mentally, he'd be gone.
Yeah, I can't.
That's a Venice Beach deal, man. We grew up with, you know, playing outside. You know,
it ruins your shot that you start shooting like three feet to the side to make it blow in. It's like reading a green, trying to read a putt.
So just spoiled.
That's true. The mean streets of Green Valley, there was really not much wind.
tell that to my African kids who have one court in the whole country. You know,
please do an interview with some of these guys and complain with your first world problems.
Didn't get their first pair of shoes till eighth grade, playing barefoot, and they're like, we were okay.
They're like, let's go. We appreciate
we're
it.
We're okay.
Right? We love you, coach. I love you, too.
Wherever. So you guys had an event, was it yesterday, 2 days ago, the Slam Dunk Social for women?
Yeah, that was really fun. That was we've done that a few years now. We may tweak it a little bit next year to try to keep it, you know, entertaining and maybe open it up to families or something like that. We've had some different conversations on how we'll do it next year. But this year was great. The ladies come in and they're excited. We put them through some drills and we give them some insight to the philosophy behind why we do some of the things we do, and we get into strategy, even practice strategy, you know, and then we just engage. You know, we had all the wives there, and they had a chance to interact with them and ask questions of them, and it's just a few hours on between the food and the court where we just get a really more than anything a chance for them to start to embrace our players. You know, these are freshmen and sophomores that'll be here for hopefully years to come, and then and give them the opportunity to grow with these young men and get to know them, you know, live and up close and in person.
I want you to talk about the importance of building a community. We're talking about a whole culture around the program.
Well, everyone puts their emphasis on winning, and I think that winning is a byproduct of that culture. It's a byproduct of that community. You know, I referenced the winning that the Golden Knights had last year, and everyone talked about, well, it was packed because they were winning. We are a town where if you win, they will come. But I think people were excited to have the Golden Knights here off general principle, and I think they came, and I think the ticket sales showed it, and so I think it was kind of one entity was scratching the other entity's back. I feel like our community led to some of that winning. That environment was conducive to winning. Other hockey teams from other states were talking about how great this place was to play. And I think that when you talk about winning, you have to talk about, okay, well, what does it take to win? I mean, and what it takes to win is, it's like the old saying, it takes a village, you know, and you have to have, like you guys, you know, having a son and repeatedly being accessible to us, and the way the media interacts, I think, with UNLV, and we're different, right? We have the memory experience that you have as a student athlete, and is going to be one that, if we can appeal to giving them the right set of parameters to be educated, to learn the game, to be supported the right way, winning is a result of that. And I can go into a lot deeper technical aspects of what we do to create that culture, but that's what I control. What I don't control is how many people show up to the game. We can market, we can do this, we can do that. But I'm a little old school. You know, I'm a Rams fan, and I was raised with them, and I saw them growing up, and I was a Rams fan because I lived in L.A. That's why I was a Rams fan. No other reason. I didn't even know who I was cheering for when I was a toddler with, you know, Lawrence McCutcheon and those guys running around. So, but I lived in L.A. So people from the outside where, you live in L.A., oh, you must be a Rams fan. Well, yeah, I guess I was. And then I embraced them. And when we lost and we went through the tough times, and then when we won, it was like the most amazing thing, because I was a true fan. I was a real fan. And I think that the community here, not just on campus, but also in the city, I think they want it to be done the right way. And I think they want something that's going to be sustained and not, you know, from year to year. And that's what we're trying to build.
Do you think fans have changed? I don't know if that's an easy one for you to answer, but Adam's big on loyalty as a fan. Like, you got to go through the tough times, and if you're not willing to do that, you know, then screw off.
You
get all mad about it.
You don't deserve the good times, and you probably can't say that, but I'll say it for you. If you don't suffer through it with your teams, you don't deserve when they have success. You don't. It's all about being there in the good and the bad.
But back to
my question,
that's
what makes it more special.
Have fans changed? I mean, you deal with younger people as players, but I think. Boy, I hate doing this because I feel like, you know, shake the fist of the sun guy, like, the old days, we would have done this. But I just wonder if folks who are under 30 just have, you know, different standards, and everything's so fast now, you know, attention deficit disorder, and they want instant results.
Right. Well, they've changed. I mean, there's obviously, when I grew up, there was the ABC Wild Water Sports that came on at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights, and that was all we had. And it showed every sport in America, you know, and beyond. And now you've got everything from your phone device to your iPads to your to whatever electronically you can access sports, you know, 24/7 on multiple platforms. So obviously, you know, individuals start to rise to the occasion for marketing and so forth, rather than team. Team has been lost. The concept of team is on the back burner right now. So, and that's okay, because I am a little old school, and I think when you do it the right way, you look at guys that have done it the right way and have had success, their fans appreciate that more than the ones who come and go with the celebrity or the star or the owner, marquee owner, or whatever it might be.
We talk about the, you know, social media and how that changes a lot of things and everything else. Where are you on your players with social media? Because I get it from a coach's perspective of, you don't want crazy things getting out there. You don't want certain things being posted all the time. I would get that. But at the same time, there is an avenue toward, you know, players building a following and players relating to fans and having fans kind of want to see them play because they can interact and they feel like they know them. So as a coach, how difficult is that to manage of, you don't want guys doing too much or saying too much or being too involved in it and being distracted by it. But at the same time, it is kind of a conduit to, you know, building that fan base.
I'm going to date myself by saying I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is that's a hefty topic. But I would summarize it by saying this. You know, I would love to cut them off of that altogether and have them concentrate on the things that are real, not the 1,000 fake friends and their followers. But unfortunately, we're living in different times, right? I have several social media platforms. I use those for promotion and positive, you know, motivation and things of that nature. That's what I encourage my young men to do, because one day they're not going to be playing basketball, or one day they're going to be recruited to play at a high level of basketball. You don't think that those owners are going to look back and see who your friends are? Do you have a bunch of pot smokers and druggies and gangsters and idiots as followers and friends? Or are you putting the right positive message out there? If as long as you're not on it at 2 a.m., hey, I get it. There's freedom of speech, right? But I do have some parameters that I talk to them about, and it all goes back to recruiting a type of student athlete that's not really going to be an issue. Yeah. You bring in a bunch of guys like Noah Robotham, and I can go down our whole roster. Social media is not an issue for me. You just got to make sure they're careful in the emotional times. Right after a game, mm-hmm. they want to get on there and think they're going to share with their friends why they didn't get in, or somebody's tripping, or one coach is doing that. That's when they get their butts in a sling.
To be fair, my best tweets are like 3 a.m.
Well, again, you don't have to get up and run at 6 with me.
Exactly. So. You're also old.
That's true, too. That's fair.
Although you do have to get up in the mornings early now.
That's true.
Which I don't know how you're doing that. He's covering Vegas Golden Knights every day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big boost up for him.
That is good times.
Marvin Menzies with us, UNLV basketball coach. I know you don't like pointing out individuals, but I'm going to ask you if there's a...
It's fine. I won't point him out anyway.
Well, if there's a guy that fans can latch on to, there's a bunch of good guys on this team.
Right.
I think Shakur on the court, obviously, is a guy to build around. Tell people about Shakur Houston off the court.
Shakur, he's a young man that went to a junior college out of high school and is a prototypical guy that's made himself into a player, I'm going to take credit, but at the end of the day, he's a soldier. He's one of those guys that understands he has to invest into his own development. He gets into the gym. He works on his game. He knows what he needs to do to get better. He's got full buy-in. He's very, very supportive of the supporting staff. He shows us a lot of trust, shows us a lot of loyalty. He had big-time offers coming out of junior college, but wanted to play for a specific type of coach, a specific type of culture, and we, we're blessed enough to have him choose us. And I can't speak highly enough about. Now he's still a young man, and he still makes mistakes. And we punish him for those mistakes. But he's nothing that I would get rid of for anything in the world.
And he's a good leader for the young guys. I mean, he's got life experience, even though he's a young man. Mm-hmm. He's from Jersey. That's where I'm from. Newark it's rough.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to come out of, and he's got some tragedy in his background and his family. So, I mean, he's got some real life experience.
No, there's no question. And I think that he's at East Orange, and he's a young man that's been through some things already and has used those the right way as motivations and lessons to operate like a professional already. But he's not just a professional. He's really, really embracing the team concept. And you mentioned the leadership role. And I think as he continues to grow, he naturally feels like that sharing is something that's coming with the growth.
Rebels Open Exhibition. We're going to take a timeout real quick here. Exhibition on November 2nd. Opener on November 10th. You can get your tickets at unlvtickets.com. You can call 702-739-FANS. Another full season of UNLV basketball. Season ticket start as low as $119.